Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio On Location. We're here with Dr. Edie Hanna. Welcome, Dr. Edie.
Thank you. So good to be here. I'm pretty excited today.
We're doing another episode of Creation Animal Care on the road, and we're in Utica, Michigan.
Yeah, we are. We're on Van Dyke, and I was so grateful to find this place. I can't even tell you what a blessing. I was so shocked. And we have Jay Tingle with us today.
Well, Jay, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Awesome. So my name is Jay. I've been working actually at the Reptarium for about 6.5 years now. And I absolutely love it, love reptiles, love teaching people, so I'm really excited today.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about this place, and then we'll have a word of prayer.
Awesome. So yeah, we opened in 2018. Our founders, Brian and Lori Barchek, basically they wanted to build a place that they wanted to go to as children, you know, that just never existed. So they got the idea, you know, to build a small little reptile zoo, and we started off just as two little aisles, and then the next thing you know, they expanded that building. And then fast forward to actually just April of this year, we opened up 30,000 square feet right across the street. Of course, in that, you know, we did hit some hardships. Brian unfortunately got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and then we did unfortunately lose him to that in January. So he was not able to see his build, you know, be finished. But again, everything that we do it for him, and it's honestly just been amazing. Wild ride, but super amazing.
Absolutely. Dr. Edie, would you have a word of prayer for us, and we'll be excited to get going.
Absolutely. Okay. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to learn more about your creation. Heavenly Father, you know how grateful I am, and I ask that you please guide this discussion and that you help others learn more about your creation so they can take better care of this world until you come again. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Edie, I hear water flowing all around us. There must be some reason.
There are reasons. First of all, we have turtles. And where do turtles sometimes live?
They live near water.
Exactly. So we're going to go ahead and start with Jay. And by the way, guys, may I say, Jay is pretty young, and to know all of this stuff, I'm so jealous that he is doing all of this. But he is so excited, and I can't wait to hear what he has to offer with his knowledge.
Awesome. Yeah, let's get started. So the really cool thing about our place here is we do have all sorts of types of animals. Obviously, we have reptiles, mammals, we have aquatics. Today we're going to focus mainly on reptiles, but even within the reptiles, we have some pretty cool things that you maybe have not seen before.
Okay.
And actually, first up, one of my favorites here, we have a ball python, really cool, and this one here is albino. Now, animals that are albino typically have red eyes.
Okay.
Now, something really cool about Helen here is she actually was born with no eyes.
Oh my
goodness. But she's still so beautiful.
She is still so beautiful. You know, it's one of those things where just because she has no eyes, you know, she still gets around perfectly fine. It'd almost be the same as like if we didn't have sense of smell, right? Like, you know, we could still do almost everything. Life might be a little different. But it would still all be okay.
Well, so a lot of their sense of smell comes from their tongue flickering. Is that correct?
100%. Their tongue flick, which you see, Helen tongue flicks still perfectly fine. Yeah. But another sense that they use a lot is the heat pits.
Okay.
See those there?
So it gives you a direction. Oh, it has little, is all those little spots around, about six of them, or maybe 12, six on each side.
Yep.
Going around its mouth so it can tell temperature, huh?
Yeah, 100%. And that's how she knows the difference between you or me or a mouse or a rat. You know, that's exactly how she knows. That's our most commonly asked question is, like, why doesn't she bite us? And she knows that, like, my hands are not a mouse or a rat, so.
And let's talk about her size. She's a beautiful, she is white, kind of a yellow white, and then yellow stripes, just plain beautiful spots, kind of camouflaged.
Yes, she's absolutely gorgeous. I'm just fascinated just watching you. deal with her in your hands. So if she was stretched out completely, she would be like almost 2 feet, right? Or
I would say about 2.5 feet or so is about where she is.
Okay, I'm learning measurements from you, Tom.
That's right. And then her girth, I'm actually touching right now. If you take your finger and your thumb, you could just barely get it around it in a man's hand. So she's quite a. How old is she, and how long? How often do you feed her?
So Helen here is 7 years old. Cool thing about Helen, something I didn't tell you guys, we actually have another business called BHB Reptiles where we breed snakes. So Helen here is actually a snake that we hatched out. We have Helen's parents. Literally, we cut her egg open, you know, so she has been with us from the moment that she's taken her first breath. So that's really cool. And the snakes that are this size, we do feed about once a week or sometimes once every 10 days.
Okay.
Well, my question is then, if you're breeding this, how do you prevent this anomaly from getting into any future?
What a great question.
That is a great question. So the thing that I will say, especially about genetics and things that are albino, you actually just can't prevent it. What I will say is if I took this snake and I bred her with another albino snake, that snake is most likely going to have eyes, right? Even if I took this snake and bred it with another snake with no eyes.
So it's a recessive
gene. 100%. Like, the chances of this happening really are not that high. It is likely. It's possible, but not very high at all. Almost, you know, humans, like, some humans are born with albinism as well, and sometimes they have, like, an eye flutter or something like that. Same thing, not impossible, but not likely.
Well, what lessons do you think? Something's warm and fuzzy is keep on going on even though you have born with some limitations.
Yeah, she has some limitations for sure, but the thing is that her most important item that she is able to live with is not inhibited. So her tongue, the fact that she can move, that doesn't inhibit her, so I think she can live a pretty decent life here, especially in confinement, but still have a pretty good life because I think she could live pretty long.
Would she survive in the wild?
So the thing that I would say, it's hard to say, but to be honest, it's not because of the reason that you think. Her having no eyes really is not the thing that would alarm me to be like, could she survive out in the wild? It's because she's albino. So something like this, you gotta think, if this was in the rainforest right now, this snake is bright yellow. That is basically like a big target that says like, hey, everything above me, I am right here. So that's probably one of the reasons that she wouldn't survive in the wild as any animal that is albino.
That's great. That's great to know. And that's a great question. And that is a perfect answer because it makes total sense. So awesome. I love it.
Kind of felt kind of nice. I really liked her texture.
Yeah, really soft. A lot of times people think snakes are like cold and wet and slimy. Not at all. Super, no. Very, very soft.
All right.
So we have one of my favorite animals, actually.
And you're not the only one, Jay, because Tom should know a little bit about this. What is this called, Tom?
Oh, boy. It's some sort of dragon or something.
Yes. Remember, one was on your shirt.
Yes. There's a picture. You can look it up on the website.
This is a bearded dragon.
Beard. That's right. But she's a little bit different color. This is a little bit more brown and
orangey.
Orangey. That's right.
Yeah. So the thing that we actually take a lot of pride in is some animals we do have that are very common, bearded dragons, ball pythons, but we do our best to find like those anomaly animals or the animals that are just a little different. So she's a really cool morph or color, basically a hypocitrus. So that's why these oranges are like really, really orange. She does have some yellow in there as
almost
well.
Almost like as if she's been colored with a highlighter.
Yes, exactly. Or like her name, Clementine.
Oh,
yeah. And it's a soft orange. It's kind of yellowy brown orange. It's just really cute. Kind of a nice compliment to
her, Helen. Yeah.
Now, Jay, I'm going to ask this because I remember. So my coworker Elena, which she did help us with a program earlier, and she owns Bearded Dragons. The sensitivity of holding a snake than holding a bearded dragon, do you worry about transmission of certain diseases?
To be honest, absolutely not. The thing that we have learned here is when the animals grow up and live in this environment, it's a lot different, right?
They're like cohorts.
I mean, essentially, right? You know, they literally live right next to each other. They breathe each other's air. You know, if Helen was a sick animal or Clementine was a sick animal, then obviously we would have problems. Both of these are animals that we have literally hand raised, so we know like their environment better than anybody or anything else. And again, knowing that they are perfectly both healthy animals, there's no worry there at all.
You mentioned something about breeding. How often do you breed and how effective is your breeding rate?
So at this time, the only thing that BHB, that's our sister business that we breed, is really just snakes and geckos. Never bearded dragons or anything like that. Way back in the day, we did used to breed bearded dragons, but it's kind of like a oversaturated, overpopulated now.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, we breed ball pythons, which arguably is an oversaturated business as well, and that is why, again, we focus on the really cool, rare, special morphs. So I'm talking like 6 to 8 morph animals that basically all these different color patterns to make a brand new animal.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful. All right. Well, on to the next item. Not for sale, by the way.
Not for sale. We're going to head right down this way,
guys.
Look
at those snakes. As we're passing, these snakes are just amazing.
Yes, snakes all over. So these two snakes right here, which normally they're sitting on this side, but that's okay. These two snakes are some of my favorite snakes.
These are tall ones. The other ones were like oversized aquarium, 40 or 50 gallon aquarium. This is over my head. It's about 7 or 8 feet high and about 5 feet wide, and it's about another 4 to 5 feet deep, and you can see it on both sides, glass. It almost looks like you're going to a grocery store and going to get milk out of those big
That is exactly how it is.
But it's much warmer.
Yes, yeah, a lot warmer in here. We keep it like 80 degrees. So
okay. It just feels like you're
in the rainforest.
You have wood, simulated wood in these glass doors. So what's in here? I can't see anything.
Well, what color is that, Tom?
Well, I see brown on the ground.
What color is that object we just looked at?
It's green.
Oh, no, look at the object over there on the other side.
It's way hiding there. It looks like another boa or something like that.
Oh, good job. That is a boa. That's a boa constrictor.
But it's much larger.
Yes, but...
Huge larger.
Yeah, a lot larger. That snake's there is probably about 7 feet. But that color, do you remember what that color is?
That's yellow cream.
Yes, yep. What is it? We just went over it, Tom.
Oh, no. Remember?
Albino.
I was looking for something exotic.
Yeah. Nice job. That is an albino boa constrictor. And the really cool thing is, to be honest, these are two of my favorite enclosures. So if you just take a couple steps this way, this snake right here is the same exact snake that you just seen right there.
But it is the natural color of the dark brown and black alternating camouflage.
100%. So animals that are albino, they have no pigment at all. Obviously, sometimes people think like, oh, that they are yellow, which really it's just the lack of pigment. So that is why they're albino. We also have some animals that are melanistic, meaning that they're all black, so they only produce melanin. So pretty cool. And then we have just a natural type.
They just turned on too much color. Right?
Exactly. Either they turned it on a little too much or turned it off. Yeah.
And these are boa constrictors.
These are boa constrictors from South America, yes.
And these guys, of course, I'm not holding it.
These ones we're not going to hold.
Okay. But it looks like I'd have to take two hands and put them finger to finger to get that big size.
Oh,
girth.
Yes.
Girth.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great word.
Yeah, yeah. These guys are very girth. These snakes here are, you know, they're eating like really large rats at this point. That's
one a week or?
Yeah, about once a week. Maybe every now and again we'll feed them twice a week, but typically once a week. Snakes can go weeks, sometimes months without eating, especially when it gets cold.
So this is 7 feet long, but how heavy is it?
Oh, that's a heavy snake. It's probably 20 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably pushing about 20 pounds.
Is it safe to put them on you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, we've got some other big snakes you're going to be meeting soon.
Oh, they get bigger, huh?
They get a lot bigger than this. This is our sloth, and I guess...
I love sloths.
Yeah, yeah, if you want, we can...
Sloths and I get along.
speed. That's awesome.
I'm not going to object to that.
Yeah, we can talk about the sloth real quick. We won't go inside, but I'll open up the door just so you guys can see them here.
Oh, he's hanging from the ceiling.
Yes.
And I love them because they don't spook me.
Yeah. Oh, well.
They just move so gradually.
You know,
we were in an island in Central America, and I held a sloth, and I just love them.
They are one of my favorite animals. Now, I will tell you, all of you listeners, you guys will have to stay tuned because we have a mammal episode coming up
really
soon.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No, I never told Tom that yet. Surprise. But it's okay. Surprise.
She's the leader. I'm just here to learn.
Okay, well, surprise. Very soon.
And I can't wait. But I'll tell Tom later about this. But by the way, a sloth is not a reptile. He just happens to be a special guest today.
Yeah, so when you guys want to learn more about reptiles, yeah, it'll be soon here.
But this is even a larger room. It's like an 8 by 10. It's like a 10 by 12. Boy, he must be really happy here.
He is so happy. Again, this is Drogo. He's about 7 years old. He was from Orlando, Florida, and one of our favorites. So, again, not a reptile, but little
just
sneak
a special
peek.
Special bonus guest.
Exactly, exactly.
And we definitely know he is not the watchman of this facility.
No. This is actually our first reticulated python that we're meeting today.
I know about that because I do the Garden Guy show, okay. And articulated or variegated means it's varied and has a whole bunch of spots colors.
Exactly.
But he's looks like white with little speckles, speckled with a little spray paint there.
Yep, so the really cool thing about this is called a cow reticulated python. And these guys are actually born all white. They don't have any spots on them at all. The older they get, the more spots they get.
So he's beautiful.
You can tell them their age by their spots?
So not necessarily, because they all get different spots at a different rate, right? Like I have a baby cow reticulated python at home, and it actually only has like half of the amount of spots that its like siblings has. And then we have another one that is a couple years older than him, and she's all black. So you just never really know.
Wait, did you say there's one that's all black and it's still called reticulated?
Yep, still a reticulated python. Wow. Yeah, so the cool thing about reticulated pythons is that's just a type of snake that they are, but I explain it to people like this. If you think about like a lab, you have a black lab, you have a yellow lab, you have a golden lab, you got a chocolate lab, right? All these different labs.
You're speaking my language. Yeah, that's the only thing I know.
Yeah, you have all these different labs. But
they could come from the same litter?
Same litter, or not the same litter, but still the same type of dog or snake in this case. So as we walk around today, of course, you guys are going to see all sorts of reticulated pythons of different colors and patterns.
Okay, but this is a reticulated
python.
This is a python,
yep.
Whereas the other two were just boas.
Boa constrictors,
okay.
Yep. Reticulated
this is amazing.
Pythons are the longest species of snake in the world.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this one is absolutely stunning
so
to look at.
A python is more dangerous than a boa?
Dangerous is a word that we try not to use around here. You know, danger is only whatever you put yourself in. Keep in mind, all of our animals here, you know, they have grown up around people. They know that we are the source of their food, so they have no reason to, you know, be dangerous towards us. Obviously, with caution and respect, everything will be fine.
I'm not gonna not comment on this. This is awesome. This is a monitor lizard.
Yeah. So this is one of our monitor lizards, of course. So he's that yellow and white color. So he would be.
Which is called?
It would be albino.
Nice albino. Yes. And this
you can teach an old dog new tricks.
that's okay. But what's unusual is he's being fed as we watch, and he has a
rat
in his mouth.
And it's not an alive rat, because those would be a bit too dangerous, and we'll talk about that hopefully in a little bit. But he is eating an actual dead one. So, and he just swallowed it whole, which is fascinating, and he's going to get fed again with another one. It looks like he's going to get three today. That's awesome.
Yep.
We're just watching it as it goes down.
Yeah. This year is Hiccup. Hiccup is our albino Asian water monitor.
So give us dimensions, weight, and girth.
So I would say Hiccup is probably about 3.5-4 feet long. He probably weighs maybe 10 to 15 pounds or so. Hiccup's about 6 years old now. It's really awesome. We do feed the monitor lizards a lot more often than we feed the snakes. These guys, depending on which monitor lizard it is, will eat a couple times a week. They have their metabolism metabolizes a lot faster than a snake does, so therefore we have to feed them a lot more often.
I'm so glad that we got to observe this.
This is awesome.
You only see it once a week.
Yeah.
So we just happen to be here on the day.
Yeah, and of course these animals are carnivores, so we're never feeding them fruits or veggies or anything like that. They typically only get whole prey. So
I did not know that some of them have to have the water like this.
So I will say the thing about Hiccup here is Hiccup, since he's albino, doesn't really have the best eyesight. Our number one thing when we're taking care of these animals is doing what's best for them, keeping them happy, keeping them healthy, and keeping them safe. Since he doesn't have the best eyesight, we wouldn't want to give him a whole thing full of water, because it would be hard to say, could he get himself out properly? We know that he can see, but we also think that he can't really see the best.
Okay, that's fascinating. And in with the monitor lizards, is also included as the Komodo dragon, is that correct?
Of course, so the Komodo dragon is the largest species of monitor lizard in the world, followed by a crocodile monitor, which is one of those that we have, and then the third largest is actually these guys right here, which is the Asian water monitor.
And this is really a neat case because he has a cap isle.
Yeah, he has one of our premium spots.
Yeah, that's right, he has the best view at three, he's at the end, so he looks forward and to either side, so he gets looked at a lot.
Yes, yeah.
He must like the attention.
He does like the attention, and I will say the kids love looking at him because since he's blind, he's kind of always doing like really funny stuff, climbing up the walls or trying to climb up the glass. Again, his name's Hiccup from the movie How to Train Your Dragon. So
he's not going to grow anymore.
So he is about done growing. The monitor lizards, again, I'm going to speak your language a little bit, are a lot like dogs, right? So you have one litter or one species where you might see, like, let's use labs again, right? You might see a 70-pound lab, and then the next day you might be walking, and then you might see a 40-pound lab, right? All still labs, they just vary in size. So Hiccup here is about, he's done growing. He might get a little heavier, but definitely not much longer, but he's on the smaller side.
Okay, so I do know that there are some that can reach up to 2 tons.
Yeah, if we were talking about some Komodo dragons, yeah that's we don't have some.
And
here.
Those 2-tonners can possibly eat a deer.
Yes, easily.
Okay.
Very, very
and
easily.
All he gets stuck is just a few small rats, is
that
correct?
And he's happy. But those same things that we're talking about that would eat deers also would happily eat just a rat as well.
Okay,
so.
All right. And then for the monitor lizards, something that I am aware of is one of the diseases that they can potentially get is the metabolic bone disease.
Yep.
So have you ever seen that in any of these animals?
So in the animals that we have here, no, because we take all of the precautions that we need to prevent that. You know,
you
it's
work
special.
On nutrition.
Yeah, it's special lighting, it's nutrition. Our zookeepers do a really good job here of keeping up with all of those things, everything down to the lights gets tested, and again, the calcium powder and things that were actually, I don't know if you guys seen, but those rats that he was actually just getting fed were that dust that you've seen on them, that is the calcium powder to prevent things like metabolic bone disease.
All right, that's awesome. Yeah, that was actually my next question, if you put certain medicines in the body parts of the meal.
We typically just sprinkle it, right?
Okay, yeah, right. All right. Okay.
Or if we do like chicken, you know, then we just dip the pieces of meat, you know, just right in the calcium powder.
Okay. So what do you treat for, how do you treat for parasites then for these guys?
So since a lot of our, almost 90% of our collection is born in captivity, that is not something that we typically have to worry about.
Oh,
we do not take things out of the wild and stick them in a cage. We do not believe in that. So.
All right, and then do you worry about them? First of all, I know that working with dogs and cats, we can tell when they are dehydrated by the tinting of their skin.
Yes.
Lifting that. So how would you be able to tell if one of your reptiles was dehydrated?
So you can tell with reptiles, they will become like very, very lethargic. Obviously, if they're not spending a lot of time in their water, their skin will become, you know, very dry and brittle and things like that. But again, not something that we see super often with reptiles. They don't drink nearly as much water as you would see a cat and dog. And they do get a lot of their nutrition just straight from the meals that they're eating anyway.
Good. And then I can tell people that, I don't know anything much about reptiles, but I can tell that these guys so far just in the one aisle are pretty well taken care of because many people that own some of these things at home, you know, unfortunately cause them to be obese sometimes, which believe it or not, reptiles can get obese.
Oh yeah. You see that. You see it pretty often actually in the keeping of the animals at home. And you know, some of these animals are not animals that you should keep at home. Some of these animals are with, if you can handle the correct parameters, you can keep them at home. I have an Asian water monitor at home, but you know, I would not suggest your average person keeping an Asian water monitor at home.
Jay, right? You're not average. Yeah. I think you're so far. I think you're pretty great at what you're doing here, and you're pretty knowledgeable. So I think that's awesome.
Awesome.
Well, Edie, I think we need to take a break here, but we are only 1/3 of the way through, and we have much more to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break.
Okay. You're listening to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Majeure. We'll be right back.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio's Creation Animal Care. We're at the Reptarium at here in Utica on Van Dyke Road with Dr. Edie Hanna and with Jay, our host this afternoon.
Yes, thank you. Thanks again, Jay, for doing this for us, because this is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm just so excited.
They're just getting bigger as we go along. I mean, this one, before I said if you put your thumb and finger or both hands together, you would get the girth. This, I don't have any way of measuring this one.
No.
It's like a measuring tape.
I'd say we're almost getting close to a foot, 12 inches in diameter. Who do we have here?
So this here is actually one of my favorite snakes. This is Jeffrey. This is a hypogranate Burmese python. So again, the hypogranate really just talks about the morph and the color that he is. And the Burmese python is the species.
So handsome or beautiful, however you want to put it. So yeah. Awesome.
And how long is our friend?
So I would say Jeffrey now, you know, to be honest, we really have not measured him in a long time. Jeffrey's one of those snakes that when we got him, he was only 11 and a half inches. So he got to this size pretty quickly. But I would say he's probably about 9.5 feet now. I do know for a fact he is right around that 45-pound range. We do still take him out. We use him for birthday parties. The kids get to hold him and pet him, and he goes to libraries and schools and things like that. So.
Now, I see a little room over here on the other side. Is that where you have the birthday parties and events?
So we do. Yep, we do host birthday parties there. We host field trips here. We do a lot of birthday parties and field trips at our other location as well, at the Legacy Aquarium. But we also do events at people's schools and homes and things like that as well.
Keep that in mind, people. Is there a certain radius, though, of where, so your location is here?
Yes.
But do you have, like, a certain 50-mile radius of some sort?
No, we will go anywhere. The price changes a little bit the further you are.
Yeah.
But,
traveling
of course,
expenses.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we will go anywhere. I mean, we've done schools an hour and a half. 2 hours away.
Oh my goodness. Well, if that interests anybody, especially schools that are listening, or even churches, especially for pathfinders and adventurers,
please make sure
that you look into this at the Reptarium Legacy Aquarium as well, okay?
Yep, and I will say, you know, when you guys go to the website or when you guys decide to call, just say that you heard about us, you know, through this radio program, and we'll make sure to get something set up for you guys.
Very nice. Thank you so much. All right, what else have we got?
All right, so right down here, we're going to do something a little different and unique from what you guys are going to see later. Down here, we have the zombie land crabs. These are really cool. So we actually have 4 or 5 of them in here right now. We've got 4 out. And these are, again, really awesome, super cool animal to keep as a pet, very unique.
As a pet? You get to keep these as a pet?
I will tell you, I've got 4 of them at home, and they are one of my kids' absolute favorite things to play with.
What in the... Your kids will play with these, so they're allowed to run around maybe a living room or a kitchen?
Oh, my kids take them wherever they want. They've taken them outside. They take them on a walk. They hold them around. They sit on the couch and watch TV with them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the crabs are actually a lot smarter than you think. So, you know, when we first got them and they hadn't been handled a lot, it was a little hard to tame them down. And especially my oldest, you know, just the more that he worked with them, he basically can go right in and pet them, and they just hang out and holds them like a baby.
So he's about 10 inches from the far claw to the left to right claw, and about 8 inches in length. They stand about how tall? It's a little.
When they stand up, it's pretty high. They stand like probably with a 3-inch clearance at least. So they will definitely push themselves up when they have to.
Make themselves look as big as possible.
As big as possible, yeah. When they're really angry, they stick their claws up at you. I've never been pinched by one, luckily. But
really?
I know it probably does not feel
and
good.
And how do you prevent them from snagging you and ripping your mouth off?
So again, something that I love to educate people about, same thing with the reptiles. 90% of these animals, if you treat them with respect and they know that you're not going to hurt them, they really have no reason to hurt you. These guys, they have the three levels of defense, you know, very similar to spiders or tarantulas, where the first thing they're going to do is they're going to run away from you, right?
Okay.
Then maybe if you decide to chase them and then you got them cornered, then they have their claws up and they're going to do like basically a fake pinch at you. Yeah, they're going to give you a stance of like, please don't touch me. Then if you chase them and then you still decide to try to pick them up after all that, then you're probably going to get pinched. But personally, I think at that point you probably deserved it because they did all these things to say like, hey, leave me alone. You can tell the crabs that really do like attention, and then you can tell the ones that are like, leave me alone.
Well, you know, it just goes to show that when God created these creatures, they weren't meant to be angry at people. You know, we were all supposed to get along. And then unfortunately, when sin happened, you know, this is what it comes down to. But if they can sense that there are good handlers out there, and it really must make a difference in the animal's behavior to be able to sense a gentle, kind spirit. So I'm
100%.
I see kind of a dark purple on part of this one I'm looking at here, but it also has yellow, other shades of color. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, and I will say they are all unique. So we have the ones that, like you said, are dark purple and yellow. And if you look up there, we've got like the bright orange one. Then we have the one that's really all yellow with just the purple along the lines.
One looks like kind of a granite stone from Lake Superior.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you had to moisten them. You had to spray them with some moisture.
We do have to spray them. We like to keep their enclosure in there really hot and really humid. So they have like an extra light bulb and they get extra misting, you know, as opposed to some of these other animals that we're seeing. So yeah, their stuff's like a little bit more dry. It's naturally humid in here, so everything's humid. Mm-hmm. But especially for the crabs that like really like it moist, they get a little extra care.
Okay, now what else do we have here?
These guys are really cool. These are called black-headed pythons. This is a species of snake that comes from Africa. And what they do is they hide themselves in caves. This is like one of God's, like, this is one of my favorite creations,
okay.
Right? This is crazy. So they hide themselves in caves. Then they have that jet black head, and they use that as a solar panel, warm up the rest of their body.
Oh, wow.
So that is one of those things. God knew exactly what he was doing with that blackhead. And it's honestly just absolutely amazing. One of my favorite snakes. Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. We actually do have some. You can see a lot better
that.
With this guy
Look
here.
Look at that head. It just literally is shining.
Shiny, right? Iridescent almost.
Yeah.
But then describe the rest of his body. He has zebra stripes, but they aren't distinct. They're just kind of blended.
Muted, yep.
Yeah, they could have been done with the air.
An airbrush. Yep. And you'll see this guy right here, if you see how he's a little bit more dull in color, that's because he's going to shed soon. Mm. So snakes go into a stage, we call it going into blue, right before they shed, where their color gets a little cloudy, a little more muted. And then once they shed their skin, it's like a new day for them, and they look completely beautiful like that.
And they're about 7 or 8 feet long.
Yep.
Sometimes people need to shed their skin too.
Yes, they do.
Just
saying. Yes, they do.
To create themselves a new creation, actually, so they can let God create us a new creation.
That's right.
All right, we're going to walk down a little bit further here.
We're going to skip a snake or so.
We're going to skip a snake or so, and we're going to come right here. So you guys might be able to hear that water running, which...
This must be a water snake.
These guys are a water snake. Do you know what kind of snake this is, though? Take a good look at it. Take a guess. It's a hard one, but...
I'm drawing a blank.
These guys are anacondas. Green anacondas.
They are green.
They are green. There's a couple different species of anacondas. Of course, there's green, there's yellow. We have just the traditional green. Both of these in here are female. Anacondas, absolutely one of my favorite snakes as well. Heaviest bodied species of snake in the world, weighing up to 300 pounds.
Well, unfortunately, the only anaconda I remember is the one from the movie a long time ago that literally destroyed a village. So, but these are not
different.
That kind.
Same snake, with different intentions, I'd say.
Well, and a bit smaller.
And what a beautiful display. I've mentioned that before, but yes. This one is all is like 10, 12 feet wide, and it's deep, and it looks like it's, and you have a wonderful water. You have 400, 500, or 600 gallons of water and flowing. What a beautiful display.
You know, I'll tell you, one of the things that Brian and Lori did was they didn't want to just like make a zoo, right? Anybody can take some cages and throw them in a building and let people walk around. They wanted, like, when the kids to step in this building, they wanted it to literally like feel like they are in a rainforest. And they really did do just an amazing job with all of the enclosures and everything. Especially, you know, think about if you're a little kid only this high, like being able to be like face to face with an anaconda. Yeah, being face to face with an anaconda, it's awesome.
And it does seem intimate because the aisles are only about 3 feet wide.
Yep.
And
all those things were purposeful. You know, we have now expanded to the bigger aisles across the street, and we do enjoy it. But that was like also the point. You know, we want you to literally feel surrounded by all these animals.
Well, I'm going to, you know, you guys know me by now. I'm pretty honest. And I hate seeing animals in captivity. I really do. But when I see something like this, where the effort was taken to literally make it as a natural type of environment as possible, it really does, you know, bring me a bit of a joy. And then I know that you're educating people about these creatures. And it does make a difference that they're not taken from the wild to be put into a facility like this.
100%. And that's the thing to keep in mind, you know, all of us here, we are all people that, like, we don't really like to see animals in captivity, you know, either. But if we also love the opportunity to educate. And to be honest, the only way that those animals will stay in the wild is if people can have a place like this to go to learn these animals. Brian's number one saying was, if you can touch it, you'll love it. And if you love it, you'll want to protect it. So, you know, what other way do we spread the love and of protecting these animals through literally being able to touch and hold them?
We would never see these. These are not our climate, northern climate. Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of these animals. Some of them, but not most. Okay. So, okay. All right. Now, again, we are going to talk real fast about some of those things, mainly of what we were just talking about, that are
here's an anomaly,
a little bit
Tom.
More of an anomaly that, again, you might not see if places like this didn't exist.
Can you count, Tom?
Uh-oh. It has two heads.
This does have two heads. So this is Ben and Jerry. This is our two-headed California. You like that?
I love it.
This is our two-headed California kingsnake.
Now, do you have a tongue? Yeah, I have a tongue for both heads.
Tongue for both heads.
This is a little confusing, isn't it?
I think it's more confusing for him than us, honestly. He is really awesome. Like I said, he's 12 years old, which arguably could be the oldest two-headed snake on record right now, which is absolutely amazing. Two-headed snakes, although they are an anomaly, typically do not live past maturity, which for a snake like this is only a year or a year and a half old. And again, you would not be able to see or even know that animals like this exist if it weren't for places like this.
All right, well, you know I have questions, but first of all, this the markings are beautiful. Actually, the coloration is beautiful. It's almost like a milk chocolate on top with a vanilla at the underneath.
I love
that.
And then a stripe down the middle.
But you guys didn't see the coolest part yet.
Okay, show it to us.
Take a look at that head there. You see? It almost looks like he's got a smiley face, right?
actually, true.
The dot of each head, and then the Y between is kind of a U.
Where a bifurcation would be. I call it the bifurcation because, you know, I spay.
Yes.
But, man, this thing is really stunning. So my question would be, how do you feed it?
So the cool thing about Ben and Jerry is, although he has two heads, he
does... Do they eat ice cream? No, I'm just kidding.
No, they don't eat ice cream. They eat mice cream.
Oh, Jay, you did not get that question before, I'm sure.
No, that was my first time, right?
That was pretty cool. Good job.
So the cool thing about Ben and Jerry is... he does eat live, so we have very few animals that do still have to eat live. We try our best to not feed live at all, but again, keeping the animals happy, healthy, safe is still our number one priority. So he does eat live, but Ben and Jerry eats all on his own, and he typically is very fair. So if we give them four small mice, Ben will eat two, and Jerry will eat two.
Wow.
Yep, if we give them six, Ben will eat three, and Jerry eats three.
Okay, so then my question is, does one finish one... while the other waits, or?
We have seen both happen. Sometimes Ben will go crazy and will just eat a bunch while Jerry waits, and then Jerry will eat. But we also have seen two mice coming out of both of the heads at one time.
This is fascinating. I'm sorry. This is fascinating. You know, it's sad that it has to live like this, but clearly it is doing well in your environment, especially if it's has already...
Yeah, 12 years old.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, and what, you know, we tell everyone, we would never force an animal to stay alive, right? Which is also one of the reasons why we don't force him to eat. We put the food in there. He eats it to us. That's everything that he can do to show us, I am alive, I am healthy, I am happy, you guys are doing a great job. A lot of people do ask us, you know, like, why didn't he move across the street to the new environment? But again, Ben and Jerry has lived about 8 years now in this enclosure right here, which to some people, they might look at it and think, wow, that's really small. But again, it's what he needs, happy, healthy. If we try to move him into something bigger, might be too much space for him. He might freak out, stress out, which then might not be okay on his little body.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to mention that some of these enclosures are so tiny, and don't they just roam? Do any of them ever get to roam? I know that sounds
so
silly.
So 90% of our animals come out almost all the time. And again, something to keep in mind is snakes often in the wild, when they're born, won't travel more than a 3 to 5 mile radius from where they were actually born. So keep that in mind. Also, with us being an interactive zoo, these animals are coming out way more than you would ever suspect. Again, the small enclosure typically are obviously only for our smaller animals, or the animals that we need to keep a closer eye on. If we took Ben and Jerry and put him in one of these 3 or 4 or even 6 foot long enclosures, it would be so much space for him. He would stress out.
That's fascinating. Yeah, it would be like if you took
security for them.
Literally security. It would be like if you took a little kitten and then dropped him in a mansion. They would be like, "What the heck is going on? I am scared. I can't find anybody.
That's a good comparison.
I don't know where my things are." So again, it's using all these opportunities to also just educate the people.
Well, good.
So right behind you guys, we'll talk about the turtles real quick. Right behind you guys, we have Drake and Josh. These are diamondback terrapins. And again, kind of like what we were just talking about, people might see these animals and go, oh my gosh, look at them. They're trying so hard to get out. That is not what's happening. Drake and Josh are our two most friendly turtles. And they literally are just happy to see us standing here. And they are literally begging for the attention. They're like, please take me out. I want to be held. Mm-hmm. I want a treat right now.
Wow.
Dude.
What's the difference between terrapin and a turtle?
Tortoise? It's just a type of turtle that this is.
Is it native to where?
So these guys, you actually can find them in certain parts of the states, just depending on where you are. Cannot find them here in Michigan. We're a little too cold. But you can find things like red-eared sliders and map turtles and musk turtles and snapping turtles and things like that.
So I noticed that you have two separate. So this is Josh, and then is that Drake?
That's Drake.
Okay, and then they do not combine.
They absolutely do not want to live together.
Okay,
it would
all
be
right.
A not good day for either one of them. And again, another one of those things, just educate. You have to just learn through education, right? People might see these turtles at a pet store, right? And they might see them and be like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. I want them to live together. No, just because two animals are the same does not mean that they want to live together. Even if this was triple or even 5 times the size, still putting the two of them in there, they would not be happy.
Okay. And you know these specific ones are males?
Yes, both of these ones are males. Typically with the turtles, you can tell by the length of their nails. These guys, we can tell by the colorations and their spots.
Oh, fascinating. All right.
What's next?
So right here we have Toothless. Toothless here is what's called a black dragon. These guys are really, really awesome. Again, it is the same type of lizard as Hiccup, the one that you met, except for this is now the melanistic version.
Okay.
So that is why
he's all black.
Yes, that is why he's all black. He only produces melanin. So that's exactly that pigment that you're seeing.
And he's got a good girth. He has that 12-inch girth, and he's 3 feet long.
Yep,
plus.
Probably about 3.5 feet.
And he's pretty active, and he has a real leathery skin.
Yeah, so again, the animals are getting really active because they know it's feeding time right now. You know, so a lot of times when people come on these certain days, they'll say like, oh my gosh, your animals are so active, what's going on? Like, do they want to get out? They just want to eat. They know it's time for food.
Yep.
Right here we've got Connie. She's actually helping Ruby feed grits. This is our white throat monitor. And something really cool that we do here is we actually train our monitor lizards through what's called the blue ball training.
Okay, I'm
that way the animals only know that it's time to eat when that blue ball is out. So you could come here, you could smell like mice, rats, chicken, fish, and you could touch all of our animals and they would never ever try to bite you or anything like that because the blue ball is not around.
Is the blue ball scented with stuff?
Nope. So no, we absolutely do not have to scent them. It's literally just a visual. Again, through years of doing this training, we have learned obviously what works best for the animals. So yeah.
And the ball is on a stick that's about 2 feet long, about 18 inches long.
Yep, 100%. And animals, just like people, sometimes they decide, hey, I'm not really hungry right now, which is fine.
It's astonishing, Jay, because literally sometimes you answer my question just before I ask it, because I was just about to ask, what do you do when they don't eat? But
no, it's really not. Again, we're talking about reptiles and not dogs and cats. That's another thing I've learned. So I spent a lot of time with dogs. I worked at a vet. I was a dog groomer. Switching over to the reptile brain, not gonna lie, it was kind of a hard thing for me, you know, because if your dog doesn't eat dinner, that is a big deal. You're like, what's wrong? You must not feel good. These animals, all these reptiles in here, sometimes will literally go, I couldn't even tell you, months. I mean, we've had some animals go upwards of a year to a year and a half without eating, for various reasons, whether it's bromation, whether they had a really big meal and they feel full, or whether they literally just aren't in the mood. So a lot different than your cat and dog.
Well, we know that reptiles don't hibernate, but they do brumate. Please explain that a little bit?
So reptiles, basically, they go into a hibernation sort of state when they're either really cold or really tired, where they will typically hunker down and they will lay in the same spot or not wake up for months at a time. Almost none of our animals here brumate for a couple of reasons. One, we keep it nice and warm in here. Two, again, keeping in mind that 99% of our animals were born in captivity, not in the wild. So again, that's something that you typically see happen from them coming in the wild. Them not going into bromation to us keeps them more happy, more healthy, because then we're more able to track everything.
Well, we just hate to take a break, but we've got to. So this is Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Majeur. We're in Utica, Michigan at the Reptarium and with Jay, and we'll be back after this break.
Hello friends, JB here. Won't you help us as Strong Tower Radio spread the news about God's true character, about His love and concern for the human race, about the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers. If you'd like to help spread the word through Strong Tower Radio, why not go to our secure website, that's www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button. There you'll find all the information you need to become a regular monthly giver or weekly giver to the cause of Jesus. If you're not an internet person, you can always call us at 231-468-2087 and just tell them that you want to help support God's cause through Strong Tower Radio. Thank you for listening to, praying for, and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is changing lives one listener at a time.
We're back with Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Majeur. We're on location in Utica, Michigan with the Reptarium and with Jay, and we are just having the time of our lives. And this is your favorite part. She's just, you have to see her. She's just shivering with excitement.
I'm so excited. Okay, so in front of us, we have a couple of American alligators.
They're fighting.
And it is literally a feeding frenzy.
Yes.
And I'm so
fascinated. They are doing what gators do.
Well, you know what's funny is it reminds me of when you have kittens and you go to put food in front of them and literally they're taking their paws and trying to move the other person
yep.
out of the way. But these guys are being fed and there's one or two of them that are just literally swimming around with the mouse the mouse in their mouth.
Yep.
And then the others like kind of like fight a little bit, but they're just literally carrying it around back and forth in the mouth.
Yes.
Is that, how long does it take for them to eat it?
So they will eat it literally within minutes. Obviously when the smaller ones get a little bit of a bigger meal that was probably meant for one of the bigger alligators in, it does take them a little bit of time. But also keep in mind, to you guys it might look like they're fighting, but sometimes those smaller gators are really smart. If they took a big meal that they know is too big, they almost instinctively want the bigger gator to get a hold of that mouse, so then they can roll off a couple of pieces of that mouse, so then they can finish it off. Yep.
Okay, well, in this enclosure, you have quite a few of them, and
yeah,
we do.
Yeah, we actually, we do have quite a few gators, so we are part of a really amazing program that is one of my favorite things about working here. It's called the Gator Exchange Program. We work with Gatorland, which is down in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I have heard of that.
Yeah,
yes.
It's an amazing place, honestly, one of my favorite places to go.
Gators everywhere.
Our owners are really good friends with their owners. Again, so what we do is we keep these gators for only about a year, sometimes 10 months if they grow really fast. Then we send the gators back, then they give us new babies. That way we don't ever have to house 10, 12 foot alligators. Again, keeping the animals safe, happy, healthy is always our number one priority. So again, we keep these gators to about this size. In the next couple weeks, they'll be going. This is probably, they're typically around 2 feet, 3 feet or so. So you might see like some of these ones here are like a little bit smaller.
They are doing just what you just discussed earlier. One is trying to tear off a piece of the other one.
Yep.
And oh my goodness, that's fascinating.
And again, we do our best to obviously make sure they're still doing all those things they would be doing
in the wild.
Yep.
It's almost... Well, they're fighting over this. It's almost like a fish is on a bait and trying to get away.
Yep.
I must say, I'm really fascinated because the smallest one, it seems that literally just took away from one of the biggest ones.
So that's something that I want to talk about. Since we are an interactive zoo here, the thing that cracks us up is the bigger the gators are, those are gators that are typically better for interactions. When we have those real small, teeny tiny alligators, yes, they are always so scrappy. The bigger ones are like, I'm fine, I'm calm. The little baby ones are the ones that are always moving all about. But again, it just is a size thing. When they're small, they feel a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more scared. And the bigger that they get, they know they're an apex predator. So,
how do you make sure that they all have had some food, though?
So honestly, we do our best just to make sure every single thing gets fed. They only get whole prey a couple times a week, and every day we feed them pellets where we just toss it in and it's up to them. Again, keeping in mind, reptiles are a lot different than cats and dogs. If they didn't get fed today or even tomorrow, they will be perfectly fine, especially something like a gator.
What are the pellets made up of?
So the alligator pellets are made up of a couple different things. Basically just taking all of the nutrients and calcium and everything that they need and putting it in pelleted form.
So does it have some sort of meat? Or?
Yeah, it does have some form of meat in it as well. A lot of good protein.
Human. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Trust me, I'm kidding because I love alligators. And yes, they could eat a human, but you know what? That's the case. That's the human's fault.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. But yeah, just mainly a lot of protein. That's the thing with the alligators. You want to make sure you're really keeping up really high in protein.
And the little pellets, by the way, remind me of dog food. So
yep,
that's exactly
what I tell people. And they're like, what are you guys feeding them? Because we let the public feed the alligator pellets actually to the alligators. So the kids always are like, is this dog food? And we say, no, it's alligator food, but it does look like dog food. So
do all alligators look alike?
No, absolutely not. I absolutely can tell you the difference between the majority of these alligators in here. I will say this is, with this being my sixth year of working here, alligators are my favorite animal.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to get too attached to them because I hate when they leave. But we do have two alligators that are our own. Salt and Freya, they're both albino alligators. I have a great relationship with them. And Salt is actually about 7 feet and weighs about 76 pounds. And we raised her up from, I mean, smaller than this. When we got Salt, she was about this big.
Only about 8 inches long.
Yeah, yep. She was absolutely amazing. So these guys, I can tell the majority of them apart, but again, I try not to get too close to them because it makes me sad when they have to go back.
So they have, basically, what you see, their base color is a white, yellow, and with the black stripes on it
I don't see yellow. I see like a cream.
I always say they're more about cream and black. I say they are cream with some black markings.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, just so you know, when they go down to Gatorland, they'll look completely different. Once they get outside in that real natural sunlight, yeah, they will turn so dark you almost can't even see the color markings that they have on them.
Well, I could be in heaven literally right now. I mean, I know this is crazy because would we see this in heaven? No, we wouldn't. However, this is fascinating to me. And can you tell if they're males or females?
So at this size, you cannot. You have to wait until alligators are a pretty good size before they reach maturity. And then again, everything with them is internal, so you have to actually probe them.
Go up and feel. Okay,
yes, which I've had to do plenty of times,
okay.
Especially with our ones that we have across the street, just to make sure we knew that we had only girls.
Okay, well, that's you want to make sure you have only girls.
Yeah, so at the time we had two alligators, Salt and Pepper. One was albino and one was melanistic. And we were kind of having a little bit of problems with them, and we were like, well, maybe Pepper is a boy, and maybe that's why he's like trying to beat Salt up a little bit. So we did have to sex both of them, and they were both girls. Salt was just like a little bit more nicer than Pepper, and Pepper kept bullying her. So Pepper now actually lives in Gatorland. That's where she'll spend the rest of her life.
She got exiled, though.
She didn't get exiled. She actually, if you ask me, got an upgrade, you know, because she's got a really big, beautiful enclosure, and Pepper kind of always she was not a fan of people. Where Salt, as soon as we open up her enclosure, she wants to come out. She wants to be pet. We let her walk literally right on the ground with people. The kids get to come right up and pet her. I can send you guys a couple pictures and videos so you can see that. It's really amazing.
Oh, my goodness. And my other question is do they fight with each other enough to kill each other?
Absolutely not. We have never, I mean, in our 7 years of being part of this Gator Exchange program, we have never had it a problem like that. Again, alligators are, it's a communal species, you know, so they are used to living with each other. I would say they do their, you know, they do their regular old sibling fighting, especially when food's involved, but you can see even with these
two gators.
I know
the feeling.
Yeah, like right now these two gators are literally directly on top of each other, and there's no biting or anything like that happening.
Oh, Tom, I want to have one so bad someday.
We could have did one whole hour of gators.
Oh, my goodness.
Me and you could probably sit down and just talk gators.
I know we could. We totally could. But, okay, we have a few more to look at because they're all beautiful.
All right, we'll do this guy right here.
All right.
So I really want to talk about this guy.
It's like a cobra. I mean,
a coral.
I don't know.
It's not a cobra.
This is called it does kind of look like diamonds, but this is called a Mandarin rat snake. Mm. Now, this guy's really cool. I actually just wanted to bring him out just to show you guys basically what a snake that is in shed looks like. So you guys can see those eyes are a little cloudy. The skin is very mute. This snake,
it's gray, like a grayish covering.
Yes, so this snake that is normally bright yellow right now looks like it has a film all over its whole body.
That's a beautiful snake.
Beautiful, beautiful snake. And I mean, I'm telling you, this snake in 5 days will be one of the most beautiful things you've
really?
Ever seen.
We'll I have absolutely to come back.
This color yellow,
the strong tower.
I was just gonna say,
I believe that.
Strong tower yellow.
Wow.
That is this snake, and it is absolutely gorgeous.
I absolutely believe that because it is getting there, and yeah, that's actually a beautiful snake.
Beautiful
you know,
snake.
In Bible, we know that the snake originally had wings and could fly, and then it was cursed and made to slither. So that's why people are afraid. But again, these creatures are absolutely stunning, and God still let them be so beautiful even after sin. So did you know that snakes are mentioned more than 80 times in the Bible?
I never counted.
Wow, okay. 80 times?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lambs and sheep are the highest for mentioning because, of course, you know, Jesus is our lamb. But
yes.
But yeah, snakes are over 80 times.
What is this?
So this here is potato.
Potato.
And potato is a
blue. I love the name.
It is adorable.
Potato is a blue tongue skink.
Skink.
Yes, skink. S-K-I-N-K. These guys are really awesome. And I will say it is becoming one of the more popular species of animals that people keep as pets. In the wild, these guys will eat things like snails. So they have a really, really powerful jaw because they have to be able to crush the shell of the snail. In the wild, we do feed them some snails as well, but we really do like to feed them a lot of veggies and fruits and things like that.
What's interesting, he's kind of chunky, and then he slims right down towards his tail.
Yes.
Yes, they have a lack of a neck.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And the cool thing about Potato here, he's actually what's called you've seen his blue tongue there for 1 second. He is what's called a Centralian blue tongue skink. There's actually less than 5 of these in the whole world right now. Yep.
Wow.
So he is really, really special to us. And just so you guys know, this is a super special moment because we typically don't even use him or take him out or anything anymore. He's in the retirement home. But I did want you guys to be able to see him. It's an amazing opportunity to still be able to hold
Thank
such
you so
an
much.
Amazing
we'll
animal.
He's sweet. Yeah. I'll be taking pictures. In fact, I'm staying the night. Jay doesn't know that yet, but okay.
Oh, my.
So about skinks, so you said this is a male.
Yeah.
And I believe around breeding season, when their testosterone level is pretty high in the male skinks, their heads turn red.
So that sometimes does happen depending on the species of snake. Yes, that does happen. It does typically only happen with the male that has already previously bred before. So like Potato, that doesn't happen because he has no idea what that is or what that means or what to do. So again, a lot of those traits are traits that you see in the wild, and then when the animals are born in captivity, just a little different.
Okay, and then the only other fact that I'm aware of is that there's a certain genus of skinks that have green blood due to their buildup of
that you just taught me something. Okay. I've seen some skink blood, and I'll tell you, all of our skink blood that I've seen is red. So.
Okay, all right, but yes, so there's one genus out there that has just green blood due to the buildup of biliverdin, which is a green bile pigment that accumulates.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so one of my favorite facts about the blue-tongued skink is they have that blue tongue in the wild. They stick it out and they expand it to basically be about the size of their head, and they do that because...
And the head is more than an inch and...
Yeah, it's about an inch and a half, maybe even 2 inches. But they do that because things in the wild that are typically bright blue are poisonous. These guys are not poisonous at all. It basically is just a trick. It's an act just to say like, hey, don't eat me because look at my tongue. I'm poisonous.
He looks bored with us because he just closed his eyes his eyes.
Listen, that is Potato. He's like, all right, guys, I'm done. Put me back.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
He wants to go back to his veggies.
Yeah, he does. He's
and
like,
he does.
I think he's ready for it. I think he's ready for a nap probably.
Aww.
He has some greens. It looks like some sort of shredded vegetable.
Yeah,
he's got
very
some
good. It's like
he's
a
got
salad.
Some zucchini in there.
That's what it was.
All sorts of good stuff. Mm-hmm. right down here, this is another one of the monitor lizards that we'll talk about. So this one's huge.
This
is Elvis.
Level.
Yeah, I mean this is awesome. So this is Elvis. This is a Asian water monitor, third largest species of monitor. So the same thing like as hiccup. But this is the natural type, so this guy is really, really
big. But you
said
you have an Asian monitor.
I do. I have an Asian
monitor. You have one of these?
At home.
Is it this big?
It's not this big yet, but it's almost there.
It's going to
be. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I have a lot of animals. I do keep a lot of things at home.
Oh, that is fascinating.
Yeah, maybe one episode, we can just do it at my house.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, we'll just keep going, right?
we go on location.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to stay in the guest bedroom. So
yeah, that's fine. You're allowed to do so.
This one is all of 18 inches in girth, if not heading towards 24.
Yeah, he's probably definitely pushing almost 2 feet. Yeah, he's about 6.5 feet long. I was really hoping he was going to wake up here.
He has some pretty mean claws there.
Yeah.
They're about a half. And really thick and...
What's up, buddy?
Okay, so I have a dumb question.
Yeah.
Okay, because I am literally obsessed with... one of my biggest pet peeves is dogs and cats that don't have their nails trimmed, especially dogs.
Yes.
Do you guys trim nails?
Do trim nails. And again, this is one of those things where it's starting to work with reptiles. I had to switch my brain over, right? You can ask everybody. I was like the nail trimmer. I would come around with my little nail trimmers. I was trimming everything.
You're obsessed with it.
Obsessed with
Again,
it.
Again, he's just like me.
Yes, but then the problem that I started to notice was a lot of these animals were losing their ability to climb when I was trimming their nails, you know? So I was honestly trimming their nails for my own happiness of I want to hold you and not get scratched. But then they aren't able to climb like they're supposed to. And again, like we've been saying, keeping the animals safe, happy, and healthy is our biggest priority. So some of the animals we do trim their nails, especially like the little bearded dragons and things that we hold. These guys, we're going to keep his nails nice and long so that way he can climb up the trees and climb up our pants when we do our shows and all those sorts of things.
You're going to let this thing climb up your pants?
Yes, we do. We do. When he was a little bit smaller and not as girthy, we'll call him, we actually used to let him like run right up the walls and everything.
You went through a few pairs of jeans, huh?
Oh, I've went through a lot of pairs of jeans and a lot of t-shirts.
Well, Edie, we're at the end of our segment here.
So sad.
So, Jay, what do you have to share with our listeners right now? You want to give us our location, how they can look up this place? We just met somebody for Strong Tower Radio said, I didn't even know this place existed.
That's awesome.
And they love all kinds of animals and nature. What can you share with our audience?
So if anybody wants to come and check out any of our animals right now, the Legacy Aquarium is open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 7 is our hours. You can buy your tickets online. And again, we do all sorts of different events and things like that. So even if you have little ones, we do an event called like Tiny Tots, which is Wednesday mornings. You get to come and bring your kids under 5 and have like a nice calm environment for your kids. And we do other programs like Junior Zookeeper, where you actually get to drop your kids off. They get to be a zookeeper for a day. We do private tours, birthday parties. We've got camps coming up, all sorts of things. And again, if you're just looking for like a fun outing with your family, Of course, they can come and check us out. The legacyaquarium.com is the best place to go to find all of our information. And I do like to say we have a YouTube where we post 4 to 5 times a week. You know, you can go and see how we actually built this place. You can see a lot of these animals that I just told you about, like, as babies, and really watch them grow up. So it's pretty awesome.
This man is valuable. He's so valuable to me right now, and I greatly appreciate your time and your effort and your knowledge and your sincerity and your love for these guys. I really can't express that enough, and I thank you so very, very much.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys so much for coming out and being a part of this, and I really hope that we can do it again, because I feel like I'm not ready for you guys to go. I still got more animals to show you.
Well, I'm gonna be talking about Tom about that. So to Tom about all that. So for some future episodes.
Well, Dr. Edie, thank you for the number of programs we've done in this first inaugural year, and we aren't sure how far we're going, but you're listening to Creation Animal Care on Strong Tower Radio, and exclusive with us. And you can visit our old programs, our archive programs, on strongtowerradio.org. God bless. Until next time, take care of your animals.
Take care. Bye.